You guys ready to see some decent sized
big breakfast sausage guy?
Yeah.
Grief is the most powerful aphrodisiac.
Yeah, we're back. I mean, 3, 2, 1.
Joe John. Joey Berries.
Can you hear me shuffling around right now?
No.
Nice. I hope it doesn't pick up like in the recording either, because that would be really good if we just sound good with no issues.
Can you hear me baiting?
No. I see the shoulder moving a little bit, though. Guy's jerking off. We had our first work call. He's already caught jerking on camera. It keeps focusing on your dick. No, you can't move out of frame. It just keeps moving.
Didn't know my camera's on. Whoops.
It just keeps moving.
It's stop just you. Playing with the top.
Why are you spinning it?
Yeah. Why are you rubbing it like a cube or a pool cue? Like you're chalking a pool cue. let's do it. Welcome in, everyone. Thank you for joining today on this momentous occasion. This is opening weekend for baseball. Big deal for us here in the fort. We've also got a esteemed guest, a one Joseph Mulberry, aka Joey Berries. And we are here, we being myself, Philip Boughton, and
also joined by Joe Johnson, the other Joe in the house today. What's up, everybody? Thanks for tuning into the Tree Fort Gang episode 3. Happy to have you. This one, hopefully audio wise, it sounds good. We're trying some things here. This is the first remote episode we're doing. Yeah. So
sounds real nice.
Yeah, it sounds nice now. Hopefully when you guys are listening too, it sounds just as good. Appreciate you listening. I would also say when you listen to this episode in totality, but we just posted episode 2 today for us. If you haven't listened to that one yet,
I did. Check it out. I caught that. That was a fun one.
I actually
a bunch of guys.
I haven't had a chance to yet.
Just getting together, just being fun guys.
Whenever I hear of Card Breaks, because I've never heard of it before in my life besides season 2 of The Bear. I don't know if there's any fans out there, but there's a hilarious scene with John Mulaney doing Card Breaks. It's a really funny episode. But anyway, when I heard you guys doing that episode, that's all I could think about the entire time was the hopes and dreams of potentially making it big on Card Breaks.
Well, there's plenty more where that came from.
Episode, I was going to say, that episode more so than anything was experimental. We didn't listen to the finished posted episode. Phil, I don't know if you had a chance to listen to it today. I did not. But we listened to it just after we recorded it and just to see how it sounded. Yep. I liked it. So Joey Berries, I'm glad to hear you liked it.
That was one of those cutting edge frontier moments, pioneer moments in podcast history. We were acknowledged as the first Card Break podcast in Fairport, New York. So definitely putting that achievement right on the wall of fame, right next to everything else that we've accomplished over the past year. Got a lot of great feedback, not only from the Card Break episode, but from the Facebook Live Card Break auction, which leads to the second iteration of that. We're going to be doing a Card Break, an NFL Card Break after the NFL draft. So the boys will be buzzing about NFL draft and rookies. And we're actually going to purchase a box from 2020. So a little more fancy, a little more expensive. But
have the Justin Jefferson hits.
There's Justin Jefferson. There's Burrow, Tua, Hurts.
Good year.
Yeah, there's like 8 hit potentials in that.
Yeah. And just to jump on that, so if you're listening to this podcast and you didn't watch the Facebook Live, which there's a very small chance of that happening just at this
super
point.
Super small.
Yeah. We're doing sports card breaks. If you don't know what that is, just listen to episode 2 of the Tree Fort Gang, where we do a great job explaining it. We're going to try and do it with as kind of like a live event here and there going forward. We're doing it to fundraise for like products and stuff, like equipment for us. But also it was just something that was really fun to do. So yeah, if you tuned into that, thank you. And if that's something that you guys are curious about in the future, just keep eyes on our social media. Yep.
For sure.
And you can do that by liking, following, subscribing everywhere that you see us.
Yeah. Yeah. Facebook. Appreciate it. Facebook is where we operate primarily out of, for the content. There's a lot of good stuff coming out of there. So, stay tuned, check it out. So card break. We're very sports oriented.
Next episode's gonna be about basketball. Yeah. So we're gonna be talking NBA.
That's all you
we're just guys.
Yeah.
I take care of kids, I sell contact lenses, and I know sports. That's all I do.
There you go. Yeah. So well, I would say you know a lot about movies, which is why we have you here today.
That is why you're calling in. Yeah. Yes.
To discuss a 1993 classic.
That's what I saw.
A League of Their Own.
Doesn't matter if it's in 1992, boom. 1982, 1942, 2022. This movie fucks and it plays well every single time.
Yeah. I mean, you can't put it on and be in a bad mood. It'll immediately flip you into a fantastic mood. This is the 9 millionth time I've seen this movie. This is one of my top 10. I'll be honest, it's one that I was tucking away. I wanted to save it for a momentous occasion, and I thought we got Joey Barry's in the house. It's opening weekend of baseball. Why not crack it out? And it's what? If it was 92, that's 32 years ago. That's nuts.
It is nuts. And Gina Davis is aged like a fine wine.
Yeah, it came out. No, it would be. Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, 32. Yeah.
Came out 3 years before me, I guess.
It's wild.
Yeah,
it's Joe John, when was the first time that you, or I'm sorry, Joe John, when was the first time that you saw this movie?
I don't know, like, if I saw it as a kid, because it came out before I was born, so like I wouldn't have seen it like as it was when it was a new movie. It was already out for a couple of years, so I probably saw it on like replay, like on Disney Channel or whatever as a kid.
All over the cable. Where I saw it. Like, I don't know,
this movie was on HBO.
Probably I was 5 years old when it came out. So it when it comes out on TV, doesn't matter what scene it is, I'm there. But probably because I've seen it before. That's why you stop on movies when you see it running through your cable lineup.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I just, as an adult, I never really go back to movies. So unless
are you, like, Joe, are you a fan of sports movies?
I am. Yeah. I liked this movie. I mean, we'll talk about it. But I like this movie a lot.
He is a Michael
most sports movies, I would say. I don't know if there's any real sports movies I haven't.
The Big Green.
I'm sure there's some. Yeah, I would have to think about it.
The Green's not ideal.
I don't really like that's, and that's the thing too. Like, I know you guys love movies. Like, I really like movies, especially certain kinds, but I don't really get too high. But I also don't like see a movie where I'm like, oh, I fucking hate it. You know, it's just, if nothing else, like, it's, I can zone out and just kind of like get my
and maybe involved. Perhaps I don't believe this movie is overrated at all. I think it's perfectly rated as an iconic pantheon of sports movies, but there's something about the early 90s movies that are so nostalgic to when you grew up, and the bottom line is we're what, 10 years older than you or so, So it just that's just the way it is.
Yeah.
And you know, the first one of your talk movies to me that I was on was Heavyweights, which was right around the same time. So it's just the so happens that when you see it as a kid and you love it for the first time, it's something that you always are brought back to when you flip on a certain scene, that it just takes you back to a really relaxed, happy place. And we need a lot more of that in our lives.
I was gonna say, I haven't even seen this movie again that I could remember prior to watching it, and it kind of gave me that vibe. But, you know, it just feels like I'm just watching like life through the filter of the 90s.
Especially somebody who grew up in Binghamton, like this movie. Like,
why are you taking shots?
I think he's praising.
It's not a shot. Yeah, this movie goes to Cooperstown, like, and goes to the Hall of Fame. Like, that's a big deal. And like, I love Cooperstown, so. Yeah,
it did just look like so upstate New York, just in the whole backdrop where they were playing baseball.
It's perfect. Yeah. So, yeah, we'll touch on.
Welcome to Talk Movie.
Yeah.
Does everyone know what we're talking about? Like, what movie we're actually. Okay.
Well, he did introduce the movie. I don't know if we introduced we're doing Talk Movie to Me. Obviously, if you clicked on this, you probably read the title, so it's assumed.
Hey, everyone, this is Talk Movie to Me, a league of their own. Boom. Laid it down for them.
Now that we've started, the first thing we normally do is you get a chance to fill us in here. So do you want to do that?
This isn't an ASMR video. Crap. Gotta get out of here. Let me fill everybody in. So this movie,
explain League of Their Own.
The League of Their Own centers on Gina Davis, aka Dottie Henson, a 70s-year-old woman who's going back being nostalgic.
Smoke.
Gina Davis was an absolute smoke. And being nostalgic, went back, is reliving the days of her youth where she played in the All-American Girls Baseball League while the men were off fighting World War II. A Wrigley knockoff named Walter Harvey created a girls' baseball league to try to make a buck. So it follows that story of that season, just the trials and tribulations of a married woman or a mother. I find it very interesting, and we'll talk about this, how many men just aren't doing anything, like
what I thought too,
or like for Nelson and then Evelyn's husband, like he told me he's too busy looking at the want ads and that on road trip I should just take Stillwell and just shut up about it. You think he's a draft dodger?
Yeah, he's a draft dodger. Yeah, if you're not doing it, yeah. Okay. Yes, Joe DiMaggio left the Yankees to go to World War II. I'm sorry, you got to sit on the couch and watch the read the want ads. Get out there and serve your country, sir.
No, I know, but that's like, does he like maybe he didn't have cartilage?
Listen, we were never even introduced to that guy in the movie. I have no idea, but he sounds like a piece of shit.
He does. He can't watch his Hellraiser of a child for 2 minutes because he's looking at the want ads.
There was that one. There was also, I can't remember who it was on the bus. She ends up ripping up the picture of him, but talking about her boyfriend Charlie. Being a deadbeat too.
Yeah.
Because he's ugly.
Rosie O'Donnell's boyfriend.
I'm like, could you even be a deadbeat like as a guy in the 40s? Like, is it possible? There's no like,
yeah.
Like, when did the social welfare program start? Was 70s. That the Great Depression or is that?
No, it was Nixon.
Yeah. Like, how could you be a deadbeat back then?
Yeah.
Alcohol. There's no like systems to mooch off of.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. I guess you just persevere.
Yeah.
You just make it happen.
So, you know, continuing, it talks a lot about the strife between sisters. I'm not going to give away, not going to give away the ending, but it is a heartwarming movie. Again, I've seen it 9 million times. I got teary-eyed at the end.
Okay, good. I'm glad no, it wasn't just me.
You did?
Not teary eye, but I was like, damn, this is like.
I'm glad this dude brought up the sister aspect of that, because it's a baseball movie.
That's a baseball,
but it's also a family movie and it's a sister movie. And I think at the core of the movie isn't necessarily baseball. It's about a big sister and a little sister and her having to overcome the shadow that's been cast over her kit.
Shadow.
That Dottie's been cast over her. She's the tall, athletic, good-looking one who's better than everything at her. And it's really, it's almost Kit's story throughout the entire. Dottie's obviously the main character, but really it's the arc of Kit that I think is the most compelling throughout the movie. And obviously we'll get to the end and go through that. But I think that mentioning that it's a sister movie too, on top of it being a sports and a baseball movie, is important.
And family, because the part that always gets me is still well at the end. Still well at the end, when Bob died, just them seeing each other, Kit and Dottie seeing each other. Definitely.
They're building that up for a while.
Yeah, but we'll dive into it. But yeah, I love the sister piece, because something that I noticed this time, and I never really paid attention to it because it's the beginning of the movie, but when I know you, Joey Berries, I know you've caught this, when she's leaving and she tells the oldest grandson, take it easy on the brother. And then she tells the little one, kill him. It's like she's learned, like, because she would have done that back in the day. Like, she would have even right before the collision at home plate. Like, she's
I think that's what she's always wanted for Kit. She's always wanted Kit to sort of earn it and step up and go for it and not necessarily give it to you. And I don't want to have this conversation about what happened at the end of the movie yet. And I won't because we are going to get there. Absolutely. A full circle moment brought forward at the beginning of the movie, to sort of lead breadcrumbs to start the movie back from the beginning, where there's a lot of strife between Dottie and Kit, and then eventually get to the point where we see the culmination of really Kit doing what Dottie wanted her to do and strive for and achieve all along.
Yeah. 100%. This is the hard hitting journalism.
I didn't even think about, even just so far, you made me think about the movie deeper than I did just kind of watching it. Like, when you're talking about the sister dynamic, we'll get into categories, but I don't know who my answer is going to be for the identify with, but I'm thinking about it from a completely different level now, based on what you guys are talking about with the movie.
I expected
a feel good comedy, because we were gonna what was the other movie we were gonna
Major
watch?
League.
Oh yeah. I was expecting and this is labeled as a comedy. There's some funny parts, but I was like, I'm watching. Yeah. Well, I know, but it didn't feel like a comedy.
Well, I think that's that makes the best a lot movies of the time. Is those ones that can emote so many different types of emotions out of you. Laughing, crying, because I'm sure you guys, I think you mentioned you did tear up a touch, but laugh, cry, think. Contemplate, and there's also a lot of things that conspiracies that you could go over too, and that lends to a great movie, is being able to talk about all of those things years and years beyond, where Major League is a great sports movie, it's a great comedy, but there's not necessarily much that you need to discuss after.
Yes,
the same way that Field of Dreams is a great sports movie with the family dynamic as well. So well, like I said,
I was gonna say,
this is the hard hitting you know, the journalism, the movie historianism that I wanted to bring to the table when we did A League of Their Own. So I'm excited. I want to dive in. I want to get into to categories and just start now, you know, start hot, start fresh.
Let's get into it.
Get to all the points. So
what category do you want to start out with? On the list, I have favorite moment listed first, but we can do whatever.
Favorite moment, favorite scene. We can do that one. I would say, God, favorite moment. I love when Jimmy Dugan is with Walter Harvey for the first time, and he's hungover, and he's like, come on, I want to show you the grounds. This used to be a golf course. He's like, there's my in-laws. Hello. They can't hear nothing. and it's just like, I was going to write you, but they wouldn't allow me anything sharp to write.
I'm going to be blunt. Are you still a fall down drunk?
Yeah. No, sir. I am no longer drinking. You've seen the error of your ways. No, I just can't afford it anymore. Drinking is funny to you.
Also, just while you're talking about that scene, I was surprised that we got like 30 minutes into the movie before you even see Tom Hanks.
So this is 92. He has a bunch of
stinkers before this. And you might remember, so he was big and big, this right? Saved him. And who directed that movie? The same person who directed this movie. Penny Marshall.
I don't know.
Okay.
Benny Marshall?
Yeah. So,
So why we bring in
after this, he starts in an incredible run. So Tom Hanks goes from this movie to Philadelphia to what's that? Forrest Gump. Where he wins the back to back Oscar.
Forrest Gump.
Then
was 94.
Apollo 13. I'm missing a couple here, but I mean this movie almost it potentially could have saved his career. Because before this,
he can do whatever he wants.
I don't know, like K-9. What was that movie here? Turner and Hooch. Hey, come on,
Turner and Hooch. And if you say that's a bad movie,
if you look at his IMDb, he did have a bunch of stinkers. Really, it was big, and then it was a few years off, and he had some stinkers, and then he got brought back for this movie, and I don't believe he was even the first choice, the studio's first choice for this movie. It was Jim Belushi. Yeah.
Really?
I know. Ugh. That just doesn't work. Hmm. And one of the problems with Hanks that I was reading on was that they believed he might have been too young to play Jimmy Dugan, to play a guy who was retired from baseball, because I think at the time he probably was in his early 30s. Playing Jimmy Dugan, but I actually think that really helps because it shows a guy who like could probably still be there in the big leagues had he not thrown it away.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean that interaction, him on the bus.
Oh, when he
the first time
when he kisses the girl or Mrs. Cuthbert. Come here, baby.
He makes out with her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mr. Gusatelli shan't be returning. Mr. Dugan. Lou quit. Who's Lou? The driver. By the way, I love you doing the Wizard of Oz.
That's good.
Yeah. That was great.
All right, so this
one, Joey Barry, what's your favorite moment?
It's impossible to pick a favorite moment. It really is. It just depends upon my mood. It depends upon when I catch it. There's no point in if I see it on cable, I am going to click on it. If I see it on streaming, that's sort of a different thing because I just love picking it up at any time because there's always a moment in the movie where I'm like, I know the exact choreography, the exact dialogue of this specific scene that I'm watching. Now, the easy ones to say would be, you know, the montage of the tryouts, which are unbelievable. What a great sports montage that is. Game 7, the ending.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say that because we'll talk about that later.
Yeah.
This is the moment I thought you were going to say, Phil.
Yeah.
When you talked about getting choked up. Marla. So Marla and her dad, after she, you know, the dad begs John Lovitz's character to, you know, take her on, and they're sitting at the train station. Who's going to take care of you? Who's going to cook for you, clean for you? And he tells her, you got to go places where things happen. And then she gets on the train and he gives the old Matt or Phil, give me, what does he do? Yeah.
That is my grandfather. Like that.
Oh, wow.
Like motion is my grandfather. I was going to talk about it. Like the family dynamic, like when we get to it at the end, like that reminds me of him.
That is, I think, like, it's my favorite.
That's one of those moments because, and yeah, like
Stillwell gets me from a kid. It depends upon what type of mood I'm in, because Stillwell was still a piece of shit. So like I kind of like just don't, but like that moment always tears me up. And I always if I turn on the cable like 15 minutes before that scene, I'm like, wait, it's coming up in 15 minutes. I gotta sit down and watch this. I gotta make sure I catch this.
Yeah.
You're talking about her tryout, right? Like when they were doing the indoor tryout, like the and then she's too ugly.
She's got an eye like the manager.
Like that was kind of a sad moment, but it felt weird coming off of just like the joke prior. That was when I still wasn't fully sold in the movie, and because it was just like, I don't know, and it was super 90s, but that was when they were just like having her fucking crushing, which I don't know why they were hitting the ball indoors.
It was Colorado.
I don't know what the explanation is
there. It was raining.
Yeah, I guess so. They're just breaking windows and they're like, it's okay.
Yeah, it's fine.
The guys are all like ducking and dodging.
Yeah.
But yeah, then they she's like killing it. She's hitting both sides of the ball. And then it's just like she's ugly, and it's just her looking up and being bug-eyed, and like, I mean, she wasn't like hideous, you know, but it was just funny.
What and else is she like,
so sorry, I'm ugly dad coming in hugging. But yeah, that was a pretty sad moment.
Hooch's arc more when it comes to my beef, so I'm not gonna go there just yet. Joe John, what about you?
Okay.
Nice.
What else is Marla in, Joey Berry's?
Friends. She's the veteran. Movie. She's the veterinarian in Friends.
Huh.
Movie. Robin Hood Men in Tights.
I'm not sure I've seen that recently. So, she plays some sort of like old.
You watched that 9 million times?
Old hag or something?
She's Maid Marian's like. Assistant.
Wait, was that the Kevin Costner one, or was that
no
that's the Prince of Thieves,
Carrie Elway's one?
Yeah. Okay.
Dave Chappelle, Carrie Elway's.
So speaking of Marla Hooch, so interesting, she was actually the exact perfect cast to play Marla Hooch. Rosie O'Donnell also interviewed for Marla Hooch, didn't get it because that actress eventually got it. And then they actually created a role for Rosie O'Donnell after she had read, but didn't get the part. So it's interesting. That actress, bravo. Perfect cast for that.
Yeah. Marla. Nice. Best hitter in the league.
What a hitter.
Yep.
Yeah.
Just from super
and
far
how
away.
About Marla Hooch?
Marla. Best hitter in the
league. What a hitter.
What a hitter. So what about you, Joe? What's your favorite scene?
Yeah. I feel like I was worried you guys were going to take it. I feel like, I don't know, you guys really like the movie, but this was by far, like, when I'm watching this scene, I was just cheesing. What is the name of the child that got stuck with them?
Stillwell.
That's still well. The scene where they're all getting ready in the locker room, like putting on their pantyhose and shit like that. And I'm doing that because we're on camera, but he's like covering his eyes. And then you look and it just keeps, he's looking, he's peeking over. Then it cuts to him and he's just looking at the one lady putting it on. Dude, he's just having the best time of his life. I was like, that's just like, I don't know. That's just pure 90s comedy.
Was that the same scene as the peace scene?
No, that's well after. The peace scene's very early on.
Okay, so then the kid, as part
of- it's when they're doing that song for the first time that they end up doing it, later on in Cooper's. Oh, I wish I had the lyrics. I don't know.
Hear that call.
All, it's time to come.
Play some ball.
We're the members of the All-American League. We come from cities
near and far. We got Canadians, Irish, and Swedes. We're one for all. We're all American. Each one stands
so proudly high. Her motto, do or die. She's not the one.
You might have to cut this out. I'm not sure.
An alibi.
No, I think we'll get away with that.
A chaperone.
Yeah, you guys have definitely watched this 9 million times.
Strong, they're not so tough. Or something like that. I don't know.
But yeah, that's by far my favorite point in the movie. He's just like sitting there smiling, and you can just tell he's like breaking character because he's a kid, but it's so innocent.
Stillwell's great when he's like into the first aid kit and
just wrapping himself up.
Jimmy comes in,
out of the band-aids.
Like, I don't know what that kid's doing, but get him away from the tape. Stillwell!
Yeah.
It's like my favorite, like, real quick line.
That's great.
I mean, yeah, the whole movie, like, I really noticed it today. It's like one like 10-minute clip after another. Like it's fantastic. I don't think there's a not memorable scene. Like the charm school gracefully and grand.
A lot of night games.
And Marla's just sitting there just like
moving. Well, I think for Halloween, we should just dress you up in a dress and have you do that Marla thing.
Yeah. Grace.
Still need to wait for Halloween. Let's do that for the next.
There is a lot of stuff. There's a lot of stuff that goes over your head as a kid, because like how much I watch this as a kid. But just when like I remember, like, what do you suggest? A lot of night games. Like, what? So she can sleep during the day and get her beauty rest. I'm confused. Like, or like avoid the clap.
Never knew what that meant.
Yeah. I'm like, why wouldn't you want people clapping for you?
The one like that I caught on, and this is, you know, even thinking back, because I told you when you called me, I was like 20 minutes into the movie and I was kind of not complaining, but I was like, I guess being critical of it.
Yeah.
But now that I realize like the whole tone of the movie, I can look at it differently. The one in the beginning, they're milking the cows, and is it John Lovitz? Yeah. Is that how you say it? Yeah. His character comes in and he's like confused. He's like, doesn't that hurt them? And they're like, no. He's like, well, it bruised me. Yeah, it would bruise the hell out of me.
Well, like, shut up.
At the time, I thought they were both like kids. I was like, what the fuck? Yeah.
Get these wild.
But now that I know how the rest of the movie goes,
that role was actually written specifically for John Lovitz. He's absolutely perfect.
I fucking hate him.
So I was thinking about this today as Phil asked me to join on, and I was going through it. I'm like, what really stands out to me as like not necessarily a big miss, because I don't think that the movie has many misses at all, but the fact that he comes in, it's a Gina Davis and Lori Petty. And then it's John Lovitz. And those are the three main characters. And then all of a sudden they get to Wrigley Field for the trials and he is gone. You don't see him for the rest of the movie.
Yeah.
And basically it's Tom Hanks who sort of takes his spot. And I'm just like, man, I wanted 15 more minutes with John Lovitz.
Well, when Phil called me earlier, I was like, I really fucking hate this character. I was like, I hope he gets his comeuppance. And Phil's like, he doesn't. I was like, oh, that sucks. And then I was like, I don't know, midway through the movie, I'm like, oh, he's just been gone.
No, and I can see that watching it for the first time. Like, this guy is a dick. He's making fun of women. He's just crass. And but as you watch it, you understand that first of all, that's sort of the way of the 40s, I guess. And that's just, I don't know. Yeah. He's endearing. And I think he.
That's what I mean. Like, once I saw the full movie, like, now at first, like, if I just saw that scene by itself, I'd be like, oh, that kind of fucking sucks. Or just, you know, I didn't like it that much. But now that I know how the rest of the movie goes, it makes sense. And it's actually kind of funnier in hindsight. So, like, if I watched it again, I know you guys have seen it a million times. Like, that scene would play better because I know, like, the
Let
rest
me ask
of the,
you this.
The tone
so,
of
I've
the
thought
the
about
movie.
This. So, okay, John Lovitz is a baseball scout, right? Is that his occupation? We're assuming that's his occupation. Right?
Yes. Yeah.
Is that his real job? Because he's out scouting two girls out in Oregon, a girl in Colorado. Is he a Major League Baseball scout? That's where we're assuming his real job is. I'm just asking. Yeah. I'm like, was this?
Yeah, I guess. I don't know.
Guy and just says, hey, I need you to go out and take a look at these two girls.
I assume,
was he positioned as a right-hand
really,
guy?
I just, no. I guess they call him a scout, but it's just, when the MLB season was postponed, I guess that makes sense that MLB scouts would go scout women or maybe hire a puppy.
Yeah. This is where I can drop the first factoid that this is like, it's a fictional retelling of based on a true story. So that's probably where they're just like, that's where the fiction comes
that
in.
That he was the Northwest scout because he just got those three. You know, like he showed up.
Let me ask you this too.
Here you go.
Okay. So they're in Oregon.
Okay, go ahead.
All of the league is in Indiana and Illinois. It's in the Midwest. You're telling me they formulated four teams. They couldn't come up with whatever it was, 48 girls or something, 64 girls. Within those states, they had to take a train out to the West Coast to scout female softball players to go play in their All-American 40s, Baseball right. Girls League. Like, this isn't TikTok era where they have highlight videos. Like how do they hear about these girls?
Yeah. You know,
they got to have the best ones.
The West
Why
Coast.
Do they have to do that?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, how do you... Maybe there was like some local buzz about Dottie ahead of time.
Hey, did you hear about this chick out in the farmlands in Oregon? Man, she could rip the cover off the ball.
Yeah, this Lucash Dairy team.
Her daughter or her sister kind of sucks.
The catcher
but...
is just and then, the freaking.
And then this Marla Hooch
they
character,
can make the, milk the hell out of
Springs,
a cow.
Man, here's like she's the next Joe DiMaggio. Yeah. Not sure about her looks, might be hit or miss, but you think you should go out and take a look anyway?
Yeah. Yeah.
Indoors.
Not hearing a lot about her looks, but hearing a lot about her talent. Switch hitter.
I love how the dad came over. He's like, I'm sorry. I'm sorry she's ugly. It's not even just like jeans. He's like, I raised her like a boy.
It doesn't matter how you raise her. Her bone structure is not going to change.
Yeah. I know.
But she turns out.
Yeah.
That's an older woman. It's a completely different person.
So. Yeah, but even when she's like singing and else, that's probably sneaky. One of my other favorite scenes is I'm singing and Nelson, ain't I?
I'm visiting the Suds bucket right now.
Sure are. Yeah. We need to open a Suds bucket.
That's good.
A roadhouse called the Suds bucket.
You want to do our next segment?
Yeah.
Next one I have is who do you identify with? Mm. Yeah, either of you guys, if you have a good answer, open it up. I'm kind of rethinking. I originally wrote nobody. I was looking at it just from the context of this is a movie about like women's baseball. So there just wasn't very many relatable characters. But when you guys started talking about like the aspect of like the sisterhood and like Kit kind of like getting over herself and growing.
Yeah.
There's probably somebody, but I don't know if I have an answer.
I'd go probably Jimmy Dugan.
Yeah, of course.
Scratch your balls a lot.
I get drunk and scratch my balls a lot.
Anything worth doing?
That's what we're doing, right? No, I think he does a lot of growing up in a short period of time. You know, he has no cartilage in the, you know, instead of living in the past, he's moving forward. I like his character.
Hell of a career too.
He's modeled after Jimmy Fox, and somebody else. But then I think a funny, like a relatable character, Shirley Baker, got all the talent in the world, but just can't read my name on the, written on
that's
the board.
That's a very good one, Phil. Didn't make the connection there initially, but there you go.
Yeah.
You happen to know the actresses, who plays Shirley Baker? Who is she?
Yes.
I do not.
There you go. Yeah, so it's John Cusack. Cusack and Joan Cusack's sister, who's actually been in a lot of things, but...
She's the mom and Accepted.
Yep.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's Milky, a movie Milky I haven't thought about forever.
Grab it, her Milky white breast. It keeps getting better. Why are you teaching her to read? Like it's some sort of inconvenience.
Oh yeah, this, she was reading the smut. Sorry, I didn't know what you were referring to. Yeah, Joey, who's your
This is very tough. This is not as easy for me as it was when we watched Heavyweights. I think the parallel that I will draw is Kit, simply because she seems to have a big chip on her shoulder, and I've sort of always had that, especially when it comes to athletics. And I have an older brother. What's that?
You're not athletic.
No, it's not the same. I'm not athletic. What I'm saying is that I have a chip on my shoulder that like I feel like
make the chip a little
bit. I need to prove myself every time I go out there, sort of thing. And also I'm kind of a brat when it comes to sports.
Yeah.
So that's the parallel I drew. Now, when it comes to like a brother relationship with my older brother, that's sort of the reason why I would say I'm the younger sibling, but I've always been a better athlete than him, so that didn't really matter. But like, even in my family dynamic, I come from a big athletic family, so I've always just saw myself as somebody who has to prove himself more and more to match the accomplishments of some of my cousins or other family members.
Sure. Joe John?
I don't know. I don't have one that I can come up with off cuff. I would say John Lovitz. Probably go Stillwell. With Kit because I feel like she had the most, like, I don't know, development.
Miss Cuthbert?
Stillwell. Miss Cuthbert.
Yeah. No, was it May?
Betty Spaghetti.
Oh, Joe John, you flaunted around town, buddy?
Yeah. Loose as a goose.
Oops, my bosoms pop out.
Yeah, what if I just fell? We'll just slide and just my bosom fell out.
There's men in this country.
Like, she's like, you think anyone in the United States hasn't seen those yet?
You can tell old Mr. Chocolate Man and he ain't shutting me down.
Yeah.
Love that. Yeah, I don't know. I don't think I have answer.
That's fine. You're okay. Go with it.
Yeah. No, I'll take that.
Former stripper turned.
Especially during the 40s.
Doing cab dances for the.
When are we going to talk? When can we talk about the amount of dudes that were just doing nothing? Can we talk about that now?
Okay. Yeah.
Like just the amount of side characters. Like there was the one guy that got up, he was like standing on the thing and he's like, women can't play baseball. The guy bought a ticket to go to a woman's baseball game.
So I
think they
can't.
He was probably older.
Yeah. He was a touch older, but then there's a few of the dancers at the Suds Buckets that aren't really doing anything.
Was in uniform.
What's that?
The one was in uniform.
There was the one guy who drove one of the girls home who was from the movie The Rock. He was the bad guy in it.
Oh, the kid. How did I
forget about how about we get in the bag and snack you around for a little bit?
Yeah. Why can't we do both? That was a great part. I can't believe I forgot about that.
Yeah, yeah, I think not everyone effort. Can be overseas. There has to be people who are working, and there are
I thought that's what the women were doing.
I think the draft age was like 32 was the cutoff.
The high cutoff? Yeah.
So like all of those dudes are.
Damn, I'd be gone.
Yeah.
Well, okay. So speaking of this, I have a trivia question for my friend Philip Boughton. So there's one character in particular, a guy who's watching the baseball games, who's obsessed with Rosie O'Donnell's character. Tell me what other movie he's in.
It's Blast from the Past.
There it is. It's Blast from the Past. That guy.
I don't know that.
He's good. Why do I even tell?
That's another one that I'm holding on to.
Okay. His name is Joey Slotnick. Just been in a lot of weird roles, and that's one of them. And if Phil didn't get that right, I would have had to hop off this podcast ASAP.
No, I know that.
I mean, he had it at the ready.
He knew it.
I knew he would bring that up.
Yeah. It's a game of mental chess going on now.
We've met previously.
Did you know that they had a couple spinoff series for this show? Yes. Like one was like immediately after.
I think that had John
1993. Oh, yeah. I think so. I didn't look up too many details about it, but Amazon rebooted it in 2022 as well. Yeah. Apparently, the first season went well, but I guess the second season got scrapped. They blamed it on the Writers Guild strike last year.
Stuff.
So we won't.
I have trouble with a lot of remakes, and I'm sure you guys do as well. There's plenty of them that just.
Oh yeah.
I've gotten to a point where if I feel like it's going to tarnish the original for me at all, I just will stay away from it. There's so much content out there. I don't need to see it. And I just don't need to see necessarily a woke version of A League of Their Own. I think that it lives perfectly in its own time capsule. And I just doesn't interest me. Not at all.
I think it does. It does. Yeah. Well,
should we
on its own?
What did you say?
I think it does the woke enough on its own that it was a super success.
Yeah, there was some
about.
I mean,
not that it is woke, but it's
it foreshadows it. Yeah, it does.
On the the Women's Baseball League, which only was around for like 9 years.
12.
But was it 12? Yep. Okay. But yeah. It is I think it's one of those, it was done the right way. Like it's not shoving anything in anyone's face.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, plus the thing I love about it, Penny Marshall. And so Walter Harvey is her brother and they are the married couple in Hocus Pocus. Satan.
Damn it.
And Medusa.
I was gonna bring that up. I was gonna see if Joe John would have got that. Because you guys did that for a talk movie to me, right? You did Hocus Pocus.
Yeah.
And I was gonna see, I'm like,
oh yeah. Yeah, no. I would never have gotten that. Yeah, you can't bring if I go to trivia, I can do like the sports stuff and like the quick math and a little history here or there. I can't do any of the movie stuff.
Well,
I mean that's how this
podcast. Well, let me ask you this. So Jonah, I think this you may be able to get this right. I think Philip already knows this trivia question, but one of the Rockford Peaches is Penny Marshall's daughter. Name that peach.
I don't even know who Penny Marshall is.
So she's the director of the movie. I know it's kind of like you don't. All right. Phil, tell him.
Penny Spaghetti.
The only thing I'll get like that, and I didn't even know this watching the movie, I had to find out after, was that May is Madonna.
You had to find that after.
I didn't know. And then when I first saw that Madonna was the actor, I thought it was Dottie. So I was trying to figure out who was who when I was doing that, when I was setting up Fuck, Marry, Kill.
That is so, like, if we think about this, like, was there a bigger music artist in 1992 than Madonna?
They talked about it in the rewatchables that would be like Taylor Swift today.
Yeah, I guess so.
Being in it.
Yeah.
So when we get to that point, I was going to say.
Well, Taylor Swift wasn't Cats, so, and that sucked.
That's true.
Well, this is,
never
this
watched that, but I heard about
good
it.
Good movie. So, right. What's next category?
Well, Well, I was going to say, I know we were just talking about how we liked the movie as it was, and we didn't want to see like a modern version on the same commentary. That being said, we could use that as a segue into our next section, next segment. If you could recast the movie today, who would you put in there? And we can do like just a few roles.
Lena Dunham as Doris Murphy.
Okay.
Taylor Swift as Mae Morbido.
While you guys think about it, my answer for who I would recast, and I just did the girls team, not everybody, but I would cast the entire girls team as either Margot Robbie or like all those other actresses that you see out there that look exactly like Margot Robbie. I could get the names of them, but there's like 9 or 10 different ones that look just like her in certain setups. I would just have that be the team.
Ellen Sue Gutlander could be Margot Robbie.
Well, who would you have as Jimmy Dugan? So let's start with the guy. I Miles Teller, that would be my guess, because he's around the same age.
Ooh.
Athletic. He played a baseball player in Project X. And I think that he could play a drunk asshole well.
I see it.
And this is I just got this question a second ago. I'm just spitballing here, but that seems right to me. He seems like the guy who could seem a little bit down on his luck. Like, just take his character from Top Gun Maverick and just like bring him down a peg or two, and he's there.
Yeah.
Who's Dottie, though? Is Dottie Taylor Swift?
No.
No?
Taylor T. Swift is May. Slides right in for Madonna.
You can't know. Taylor Swift ain't slutty. No, Olivia Rodrigo.
Is she slutty?
Sluttier.
T. Swift can be Kit. And
I think T. Swift would have to be Dottie because she's tall as fuck.
Is she?
Yeah. No. Well, I guess.
She's a good 5'10" probably. So, I think it might be easier to cast now because I think there's a lot of, like, there was 2,000 girls who auditioned for the Rockford Peaches, the roles of the Rockford Peaches, and now there's, I mean, a lot of actresses out there, and I feel like it's just a little bit more of an athletic age that we're living in, where like Penny Marshall, one of the prerequisites of casting for one of the Rockford Peaches is you had to be able to play baseball. You had to be good at throwing, hitting, running. And that's one of the reasons why, well, like Madonna, for instance, was actually listed as like the worst of the baseball players. but it's Madonna. So like, you know, you can work around that a little bit, but I love when directors and producers do that, is they put the athletic ability at the forefront of who they're casting, as opposed to maybe acting ability, because in a sports movie, you want it to be real. And
wait, so you're saying for them to be actresses on the movie, they had to show that they could play baseball? Gotcha. I was like, I thought it would be pretty assumed for them to make the team.
So, Gina Davis's audition with Penny Marshall was they were playing catch. I forget where, like Penny Marshall's backyard or something like that. And it lasted a couple minutes. And she's like, yep, you're it. You're good.
I like that. Hmm. That's fun.
Interesting.
Sorry, I had to get some more suds bucket.
No, you're good. No, you're fine. So segments left that we have, so we can pick any of these, but we can still have What's Your Beef if you guys have any.
I've got so much beef, it's not
even Fuck, Marry, Kill.
Let's do that. I think we need some laughs here.
Okay.
Yeah. Fuck, Marry, Kill.
I'll go. I would love to leave.
Yeah, I was going to say, who wants to start? You can start.
I'm going to say, you guys don't have to follow this, but I'm not including Gina Davis. I'm not including Laura Petty, who played Kit. Okay. I feel like that's too easy, because you're going to marry Dottie and you're going to fucking kill Kit. We all know that. So we'll see. I am going to marry Ellen Sue, who is the pitcher in Game 7 for the Peaches, the blonde. I married a plastic surgeon. Which is funny enough, because she's like, she's the best looking, but she's dare I say, a little bit mannish looking, a touch. She's got like very jagged features, and she's kind of got a little bit of a unibrow, but it works for me. I'm sorry.
The beauty director saying she's supposed to have two of those.
No. It was another one. Yes.
No, I know.
Yes. soften and shorten. Yeah. I'm going to marry. No, I'm just gonna. I'm gonna fuck all the way May. It's Madonna. Okay. Let's have at it. And then here's a curveball. I'm gonna kill Betty Spaghetti. Send her to heaven with her husband, so she's reunited
to be with George.
She'd be with George.
I don't think George was a good husband though, because when she had the card, she's like, "Be careful! If anything happens to that card, George will come all the way back from the Pacific to kill me." Like, well,
whoa, his comeuppance. That's some karma right there.
Also, his name's George Horn. It's like the worst name ever.
Yeah, it's kind of
shots fired. Sounds like a name we'd have on here.
George Horn.
It sounds like a name we'd have on here. Huh, we got George Horn joining the Tree Fort gang.
Maybe. The ghost of George Horn.
Yeah, there we go. Who would you fuck, marry, and kill?
I would fuck Betty Spaghetti because
you
gotta think she's in her. If I learned anything from Wedding Crashers,
you should see my face right now. That
why
you fuck Betty Spaghetti?
I can't see the screen. Well, like
I know you can't, but I'm just saying.
No. I know what like, Betty Spaghetti. Grief is the most powerful aphrodisiac. Says,
all right, I hope we start the episode with
jazz.
That.
At a certain point, she's just depressed and her libido is nothing.
Yeah. She's just happy somebody's paying attention to her. Take her away from George.
She's grateful.
The memory of George. You take her out. And, you know, fuck is a very archaic term. She is going to get wine and dined. You know,
yeah, make
we're
love.
Treat her right. Because that's what we do.
She's going to be very appreciative of that.
She would be very appreciative.
So who are you really taking care of? Who are you marrying?
She'd be smitten with that. I would marry. I'm going to kill Doris. Because she is just the worst. I hate Rosie O'Donnell's voice and everything about her.
Helen Sue! One more Helen Sue!
Yeah. Helen Sue, that looked good to me, Helen Sue. That looked good to me. Like, it was in the dirt. So, I mean, I get
that
it,
as a baseball player. I'm trying to think now. I don't know if I've thought or said a line from this movie more than that one right there, as somebody who's yelling out to a pitcher from the outfield, "That looked good to me.
Yeah,
that looked good to me, Corey."
Yeah, yeah. When we, Frank, that looked good to me, Frank. That looked good to me. Yeah. And Mary, it's tough. I gotta go. I'm going to go with May. She's fun. We're going to go out dancing. You know, getting a little bit of trouble here and there, but
I hope you like the taste of other guys' dick.
Well, we're going to scope her mouth out real good and then we'll be good to go.
Hey, wash up, lady.
So, yeah. Marla, nice. Marla, a very close second because she turns into just the sweetest little lady.
All right. Get the fuck out of here with that answer. Joe, John, give it to us.
So I'm going to fuck Dottie if it's just there for us.
Yeah. Do you like him tall, Joe?
I don't feel like any. No, it was just kind of, she's just the main character. It's just that like alpha type. Part of it, she's a leader, you know. She's right, you know. Actually, it's funny. I'm picking her for the fuck. I was gonna say she wants to build a family.
Yeah,
you know, like a wholesome.
So
girl.
She riding you then as an alpha. So she's having sex with you, not the other way around.
Okay, a little bit of both. Yeah, I think we're both bottoms.
Two bottoms do not make it.
So I have her as the fuck. Just because I knew no one else would. You know, she's a good girl and she's an athlete.
Nobody else would.
The Mary. No, you guys didn't have her as the fuck.
Yeah.
So, you know, just different.
It's a low hanging fruit.
I'm a little pissed because I was going to marry May as well. So we're going to be tasting each other, I guess.
Yeah, you can
both marry. Said that. I was like, hey, don't talk about my wife like that. That's my wife.
You get back her. You fuck my wife.
But.
What the other guys.
Yeah,
Christina,
yeah.
Are you deaf?
You get, you're in our house.
You get back.
Get my wife's name right.
But yeah, because it's Madonna, and I don't know if you guys know, but you can actually have sex with your wife more than once. I'm not married in real life. And then I was going to kill the scout, John Lennon.
Oh, very nice. Way to throw that one in there. All right.
He just does not like John Lovitz.
Yeah, I mean, it's the character. If I was the dad, yes. I would have done it right then. As soon as he said, he's like, as soon as we're out of the train, we got to go get the train. As soon as he saw her face, I'd kill him right then.
That's a good one. I was thinking this strictly Peaches, out. But I like the way he played that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
Let's get into the beef, because I got a lot of it.
I have
yeah,
like
you got
seven,
beef?
All
right, well, you got a lot.
Beefs, like.
All right,
I'll let you guys. Well, here, I only have one, so I'll say mine quick, and then I'll let you guys go. Okay. And this is, I was writing this down like as I was watching the movie. The only thing I really didn't like that I saw, and this is again when I was still watching like John Lovitz's character, I just didn't like it. I just didn't like how he immediately makes a hand job joke to Kit, who is a child. I thought both of them were kids at the time. So, and then like Dottie mentioned their husband later on, but still, I was like, these are children.
It honestly never dawned on me that they were children. What are their ages? They're not
children. You keep saying that they're not children.
I think Kit.
I would have said
like,
that
one
kid is like 25 and 23.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, at first I thought they were like, I don't know, 16 and like 14. And then I was like, all right, at least one of them's 18 something. And maybe it's like 20 and like 17 or something like that.
Can't really tell, you know, never really dawned.
Yeah. Yeah. That was just, again, I mean, if I had watched the movie before, that probably would not have been.
I want you to watch it.
I wrote down.
I'm
going to
send
you
a YouTube link for John Lovitz scenes in A League of Their Own on loop. I want you to watch it. And you're just going to fall in love.
A 10-hour vid. Hello?
If I had your job, I'd kill myself.
I did like that one. If I had your job, I'd kill myself.
Sir,
just walks away.
Like it?
As someone who also makes a lot of jokes about self-harm, I like that part.
Who wants to start?
The beef.
What are your guys' beef? Go ahead. I already said mine, so you guys are open. I'm trying to figure out Kit's age in the show or the movie.
Go ahead, Joey Berries.
Where do I start? This is I'm gonna start with my biggest beef. Okay. And it starts with what we were discussing before with my favorite scene, actually, with Marla Hooch and her dad. And her dad talking about, you got to go places where things happen. And I think that what Marla was searching for was just to live her life and find something necessarily outside of baseball. Maybe. But her leaving her team to marry Nelson when they're going into the playoffs is inexcusable. It just does not happen.
I agree.
You cannot do it.
She'll be back next season.
Yeah, she'll be back next season. The league may not be there
taking
next
the season.
You didn't tear your ACL.
Yeah, fucking Nelson. You could be tearing your ACL fucking Nelson on your wedding night. Who knows? You could get impregnated. Yeah. You never know.
And also, Nelson, like, it makes it, because, like, I got a letter from Nelson. And it's like, met him at the Studs Bucket. So, like, why is he writing you a letter? Like, where does he live? Like, the next town over? Like, he can't be that far away.
Well, they were traveling. So, like, they were traveling, and it's not necessarily easy to travel.
They were
on a road trip.
South Bend.
I know. It's a good point. But, like, the thing about Marla is she loved the game, and her dad even said it. If she was a boy, she'd be playing for the Yankees. For her to fall in love that quickly and desert her team is not something of warrant for the best player in the league. The best player in the league would not do that.
So I can't keep track of all my beef, but this is a piece of my beef is, so George dies, Betty leaves, Kit gets traded, Marla gets married and leaves. They only had two people like on the bench and like reserve pitchers. So like, what was that trade? And if you're going to talk about this later, then that's
thank fine. You. But thank like, you for bringing this up. And continue so like, point, I
you had zero
cash considerations.
So Dottie was catcher and Helen, the coffee lady, played first. Second was Marla. Shortstop was Ellen Sue. Third was Doris. And then outfield was May, Shirley Baker, and Evelyn. And so then Alice and Betty Spaghetti were the only two bench.
Well, don't forget, Betty Spaghetti left because of her husband.
Right. And so she's gone.
She's gone.
And then
Kit's gone. Kit, Dottie's gone.
Kit.
Marla's gone.
Traded. Dottie, yeah. Like, you're like multiple people down. Like, they should have had a bigger bench, I think.
Well,
yeah, I should have run in more than 16.
This we'll never be able to know the answer to this question, but like, what did that trade for Kit look like? I've been traded to Racine. What did they get back? A ham sandwich? Did they get some spare tires for their bus? Did they get a babysitter for Stillwell? What did they get?
That'd be fantastic.
I would have loved for them to just give us a touch of an update. Maybe in the newspaper headlines, because the newspaper headlines for the World Series leading up to Game 7 gave you all of the updates. Could have given us just a little bit of blurb and you know, hey, Kit traded for star pitcher, traded for star shortstop or something like that.
Right, because Ellen Sue was the shortstop.
Yes, and now so Ellen Sue's the pitcher.
The pitcher. So who plays short now?
Yeah. Exactly. And that was also one thing that I wanted to bring up because, like, I understand that back in the 40s, especially in MLB, pitchers went a lot longer. But these weren't Ironman pitchers. It wasn't like in softball where you pitched every single day. Because this motion going overhand is a lot more stressful than going underhand for softball, which is what Kit pitched when...
And when she gets pulled. She makes the comment, I've never been
exactly
told. And he's like, oh, Betty's already coming in. And so it's like, so you, the one relief pitcher you had is gone. So like,
and who else is pitching? Is it just basically, Betty. If you're not pitching, you're playing the field. And then they take the person from left field and they bring them in to pitch. The person who pitches goes to left field. Like, how does the pitching rotation work? You're right. These rosters really should have been like, why cut all these girls? Like they had, I forget the specific numbers, but like, let's say there was 16 girls to a team.
Right now there's 36 girls.
Yeah. Why not put 20 girls
to a team? Bathing suit if I asked them.
Yeah. Yeah. So that those are a couple gigantic beefs. Cause I do not think that.
Yeah. That'll be a great question.
Rockford Peaches are making they're definitely not making the Game 7. And I don't think they make the World Series without those four intricate cogs.
And you're down the two best hitters in the league.
What does the playoffs look like in a 14 league?
I took it that it
was, how do we get to the World Series?
The one played the four and the two.
I'm hoping that it was just the regular season records, one versus two plays in the World Series.
Probably. Yeah.
Because I don't think they mentioned... did they mention playoffs?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, maybe it's just World Series. I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, surprised it was games to seven back then.
What was
then,
the
too.
Kenosha team name?
The Kenosha Kickers.
I don't know.
It was the South Bend Blue Sox.
Nothing for the Kenosha Kickers?
I don't know.
John Candy? Home Alone? No?
Oh, all right. Yeah. Is
polka. Polka, 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 polka. Big in Sheboygan. Very big in Sheboygan.
Big in Sheboygan. All right, what's your next beef?
Do we want to do it now? Drop the ball?
Yeah.
I think we can do it now. If anyone's still listening, okay. We've been doing this
a while. Oh, they're listening. All right. So I
hope so. All right.
How do you want to start this, Phil?
You start it.
All right. I'm going to ask the question to you two. What do you think? Did Dottie drop the ball on purpose?
It's a great question. I don't think she did.
Okay. Any reasoning why?
I think Kit earned it. Just watching the play, it didn't look like she did. And I think that she would want to wanted Kit to have earned it.
Love that.
I also don't think she did for two reasons, because number one, she was held at third. So I don't think Dottie would have planned that. It's not something that you're like, oh, I'm just going to spontaneously throw the ball or, you know, let it go. But also the out before that is when she fell in the dugout. So she might have been, you know, a little tender, a little sore. So
that's a fantastic. Yeah, I've never thought about that. Maybe she was. Maybe she dropped the ball because she jammed up her shoulder a little bit.
Trust me, today.
Yep.
And so that's what I was thinking today was like, all right, what plays into it? Because, that was the out before. And then she tells her, you know, high fastballs, can't swing them, can't lay off them. Or can't hit them, can't lay off them. So, like, she's still trying. And, I don't think she did on purpose. I think it is an earn it type thing. Which comes full circle with Tom Hanks on the bridge. Earn this. Saving Private Ryan. Mm.
Gotta earn it. There you go.
So
it's all connected.
I completely agree with both of you. I do not think, and I think that the one glaring piece of evidence is that she told Helen Sue to pitch it high and tight and give her the cheese because she knew that Kit couldn't hit it or couldn't lay off it or needed to hit it and needed to prove herself against her sister. Now, do I think that she pulled just changed her mind when Kit rounded third in that split second? I don't, ultimately, because I think Dottie is a gamer, and I think that she wanted it for her sister to earn it from her, and she did. And also, as a catcher, as a baseball player, when you are getting collided into, you don't hold the ball in your mitt out like this and your hand behind it. You grasp the ball inside of your mitt and hold it as one. And I think that was a huge reason why the ball came loose. Now, it kind of doesn't make sense that the ball was in her mitt, but then ultimately the ball fell out of her bare hands. Just doesn't make sense from a cinematic perspective. Mm-hmm. But that was bad catching technique, which I love, Phil, that you brought up. Maybe she was a little concussed after that previous play. Maybe she wasn't thinking straight. And she just got clocked. And ultimately her sister wanted it more. And I think that's why when Kit's being carried off the field, you see Dottie smiling. And it's like, wait, did Dottie do that on purpose? No, I think that Dottie didn't do it on purpose, but she finally got what she wanted out of her sister to grow and achieve something for herself.
So
she put her in a position to earn it.
So Joey Barry's for the baseball purist in you, walk me through why is the outfield in on 0-2, two outs, with the game on the line like that? Wouldn't you be, granted she is, because I was also thinking, why wouldn't you intentionally walk? She is the pitcher. She's the nine hitter. So next would be number one. And then also why? Because when she hits it, it goes over Evelyn's head. Why is Evelyn?
Well, first off, Evelyn clearly has some issues with her technique. She's a bitch. She's horrible.
Yeah. But she does hit the cutoff.
She is the Giancarlo Stanton. No, that's too good of a praise for her hitting. But she's somewhere in between where, like, she is a liability as a defender, but can hit the ball. You're absolutely right. And I thought about this too.
She was 7 or 8 in the lineup. She can't even hit the ball.
With as much respect I have towards women athletically, I actually just got done watching some women's college basketball. So I respect women, but they are playing on a full grown big ass field. Like, it is a big boy field. I forgot to take a look at the footage down the line, but it's over 300. This is a full grown man field, and women aren't supposed to hit it that far. They're not supposed to hit it that far because they just don't have the power, and because the velocity of the pitcher is not able to, shouldn't be able to generate that much distance off of the bat. Right. So I think that they were just generally playing in, and Kit just ripped it. I that's all I can say. Now, they shouldn't have been playing that. Like, yeah, you should be playing. The runner on first or second?
Second.
No. So if the runner's on second and it's the tying run, you want to play at a depth where if it is a single, you can throw them out at home.
I think it was second.
I think so too.
Yeah.
So I think it was just, I think it was Kit just crushed it, and they're playing in a field where it's almost too big for their britches, but Kit hit the shit out of it.
Okay.
Nice. Any other beefs, Phil? Do you do your beef yet?
No, I'm just inserting my beef after Joey Berry's
beef. I got one of them.
You can insert your beef wherever.
We're going double beef.
I don't know what categories are after this, if this is ever going to come up, so I need to say this.
Yeah, go ahead.
What happens after the game? Like, the way at the end of the movie, when they're older, and Kit and Dottie are meeting each other, or seeing each other, it's almost like they have not seen each other since that day.
For 50 years. Yeah.
So I wondered that.
How frequently have they contacted
each other? It's like none of them.
I
don't think
were much. Her and Bob just in Oregon for 40 years, 50 years, and just never came over to
the
Midwest.
And I think Kit stayed there because she says, like, some of the other girls are going to get jobs here. And then when, in the beginning, when Dottie's with her daughter, she's like, oh, I doubt Kit will even be there. She's probably off with that husband of hers. It's like, Frank, you know, his name is Frank. It's like, they're always traveling somewhere. So it's like, yeah, I don't think they see a lot of each other.
Yeah. I looked it up, by the way. Kit is not based on a real person at all. She was made for the
movie. Didn't know that. Interesting. Well,
based on what I could see.
So, like, as that relates to, like the time that we're living in now, I know that people trash on social media and everything. Like, oh, man, it'd be awesome if we just could just rid ourselves of this cancer of society. But, like, having this stuff and like being able to converse over WebEx or Zoom or Facebook or Instagram, or even the easier access to just travel across the country is an amazing interpersonal device that we have, where like back in the 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, like it wasn't easy to do all this stuff. So like, it was just, hey, you beat me in Game 7. You're my sister. I'm going to go back to Oregon. I'll see you in 50 years. Like, that was, what else do you do?
It took them 3 days to drive from Chicago to Yellowstone. And then they're like, oh, we turned around. And like, bear trap.
I'd have been so pissed if I drove for 3 days and then turned around. I would have left her. I'm going back to be assistant.
How much roadhead was Bob getting that trip?
Not a lot on the way back to Yellowstone, but a lot from Yellowstone to
Chicago.
Chicago.
So now that we're on the topic of Bob, Paxton or Pullman.
Wait, did you say Paxton or Pullman?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
I love playing that game. Paxton or Pullman.
Give me their best roles. Twister and Independence Day.
I was just going to say.
I'll take Independence Day all day long, so give me Pullman.
Either Twister or Tombstone.
Wait a minute. Yes. I think Paxton absolutely has the better IMDb.
Yes.
Something rubs me wrong about him. I'm going Pullman.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
You?
Pullman is from New York. He's from around here.
Didn't know that.
Pretty like over by Bonaventure.
Interesting.
I think.
Hmm.
Yeah. So on the topic of Bob, so he gets shot in the foot, and a sniper. He got seven of us. So he hit you in the foot, but he killed seven other people. Like,
yeah, I thought she was dreaming.
Is he the worst sniper ever?
What, Joe John? Like, that's actually interesting. I may have thought that one of,
because it was immediately after what the other lady got a telegram that her husband died. So I thought it was going to be her having some kind of a dream afterwards.
You're conditioned by too much terrible television and media.
Yeah, modern day.
I probably never crossed my mind, because the first time I saw it, I was a kid, I just never thought of dream sequences. But that totally makes sense that you would think that. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden she's just like, yeah, by the way, I'm out.
Yeah, you gotta go make babies now.
Would you say that there was sexual tension between Jimmy and her?
I love that you picked up on that. So it's a deleted scene where they have like all of this.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They have all of this tension. Like, and then before, when she's in the locker room, like freaking out, and then Mr. Lowenstein is like, what's going on? And she's like, yeah, I don't want to talk about it, just trade me or whatever. It was supposed to be like that Jimmy like kissed her or something then.
Oh.
Like the conflict was not necessarily with her and Kid, it was with her and Jimmy.
That's interesting, because it seemed like it had some buildup, but there was never really any like climax or like payoff regarding, besides just the awkward interaction between Jimmy and whatever his name was, her husband.
The actual women players that they used as reference said that would never.
It didn't happen. They didn't like it. It's, you know, it just,
no,
they
no
didn't
woman.
Yeah. Gotcha.
No woman would do that with her husband overseas. Yeah.
Yeah. It would have been great storytelling for the sake of like,
right,
what they're,
yeah,
trying
if,
to
if
do.
This movie was made now, I could totally see that as part of the plot line. But I'm so glad that they did not do that, because it would turn that more into a salacious, like rom-com, like scandalous. That's not this movie.
Take away
a sports
from
movie,
doing.
and the soul of the movie is the interaction between Kit and Dottie, and that whole scene where she's asking for the train has to be about Kit and Dottie. It cannot be about Kit and Jimmy or Dottie and Jimmy Dugan. It completely changes the tone of the movie.
Yeah, I would agree. It's funny that that was a deleted scene, though, because it seemed like that was something that they were planning scenes for.
Yeah. What else you got?
Well, I think that their relationship, too, was more of part of the arc of him becoming, I don't know, just a better person in general. Because like when we meet Jimmy Dugan, he's a piece of shit. And Dottie sort of works her magic, as she does on so many. And I think that that is the payoff for their relationship, not necessarily that, hey, these two could fuck.
Gets in the Coca-Cola. And...
Yeah, no, I know. But then he died in like 1987. He lived a good 45 extra years.
Yeah, ago. Yeah. If he was still slugging down the hooch, not Marlon.
He wouldn't, who knows?
If he was slugging down the hooch, he ain't making it 87.
What other beef do you got?
I ain't got beef is done. I'm good with beef.
I was gonna say, if you still have more beef, I thought you liked this movie. But though, I do like the beef though, especially about the trade.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
You got anything, Phil?
No. I think that was my beef.
Nice.
Yeah.
Got one more category for us, and then we can kind of just talk for a bit and then wrap it up whenever we're ready.
Okay.
And this is going to be the reset for you and I for season two.
Oh yeah.
But our items are to go.
Okay.
I don't think I answered any of these first, so I think I'm going to take this one first. Sure. So in the spirit of the card breaks and everything that we're doing, I'm going to take up the ripped up Jimmy Dugan card.
That's a good one.
And I'm going to patch that back together.
That's a good one. I like it.
Yeah. I know, I was hyped when I saw it. I was like looking out for an item above all else in the movie.
Since you guys are the ones who are continuing this, I will let Phil take it.
Okay. Trying to think what I would take.
My second option before the card became obvious was going to be the indoor gym.
Just take it. Just like here it is.
It has to be a baseball field. Right.
I would probably take it's got to be autographed. Dottie Hinson bat.
Okay.
Now, okay. What size is the bat?
A real her bat.
I was gonna say baseball.
No, I'm sorry. I'm a baseball guy here. We're talking 34-34.
They're playing the full field.
Take Marlo's bat. It's heavier.
Yeah. It's like a Homer Bush bat where the guy was swinging like a 40-ounce bat, which is just stupidly unheard of. If you're strong enough, the heavier the bat is, obviously if you connect, generating that velocity, what is it? Mass times velocity equals, what is it? Momentum?
Speed.
Something like that. Yeah. So the heavier the bat, bam.
Makes sense.
All right. So the answer is the ball. I'm taking the ball. The drop ball by Dottie Hinson. That's it.
Okay.
I'm not going to be in here with all the movie talk, so I don't need to develop my own bat cave. If I was, I'd take the bus, but I'm not. I want the ball.
That's true
sports memorabilia. Yeah.
As far as things to talk about, just kind of last pieces, I do think it is great what they have at Cooperstown. It is not, and maybe it was it, like that big area like they walk through. But now it's a little bit smaller. But it's a fun, I love Cooperstown in general. I think the town is awesome.
It makes me feel so good. I love it. Awesome.
Yeah. It's a fantastic place. I highly recommend it. For anyone who's never been there, even if you don't like baseball, it's just a cool place to go.
It just feels good. It smells good. It feels like you're part of, literally like you're walking into history.
Yeah. History. Yeah. It's a fantastic historical museum. And it's a beautiful town. But they're walking through there. The Stillwell part. I said that one kills me a little bit every time because he was there. And I always think about when he says Mom died a couple years back. She always said it was the best time she ever had in her life. And it's I was thinking about it today, she was saying my husband, he just doesn't want to deal with Stillwell. Well, he looks at the want ads that I should just take him and just shut up about it. And she wasn't good. I don't know how she made the team. She had an error. She had at least two errors in game 7. And so you got to think it was, the probably the best time of her life that she was out there. She wrote that song. So it was, a good moment, a real feel good moment. Also the other part that kills me is when Marla and Dottie reunite at the field and, it's how's Nelson? He's gone.
Oh, we lost him. No, stop it.
It just immediately just kicked him. His iPad probably died.
Oh no.
That might be what it is.
Can he join you or no?
Yeah, we'll do that real quick. So we might so just sit tight. I'm just going to grab him and bring him down. Yeah, we're back. 3, 2, 1. Yeah, it's just got it separate. So Yeah, we lost Phil for a bit, but we got him back now.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
So I was saying, Bob died. I'm so sorry. When? Just this winter. I'm so sorry. She just shrugs it.
Yeah.
It was a tough winter for Bob. Couldn't make it.
Just kind of moved on from that.
Yeah, she's like, I don't know. That's what happens when you go old. You just fucking die. I don't know.
So speaking of older Dottie, for the longest time, I did not realize that that was not Gina Davis with aging makeup on. I thought that that was Gina Davis because it's her voice. They're just dubbing it over. And it looks so much like her. And Joe John, I want you to look up the actress on IMDb for who plays older Dottie. What a smoke show. My God.
IMDb for who plays older Dottie?
Yes, her name is Lynn Cartwright. It is, wow. I would have loved to meet her in the 40s or whenever she was that age.
Oh, let me see right now. We're going to get a live reaction. Oh, my.
Right?
Yeah, she's got, whew.
Gorgeous.
Whew. I just saw that one picture. I have to, that was on her IMDb. Let me just go to Google Images.
There you go. So
yeah, she's a good looking woman.
But I had
no RIP, idea. I assume.
Yes. But I had no idea that they did real actors. I thought that they did real actors for obviously for everybody else because nobody looks like it, but like it is her voice. And first of all, why does Kit look like she's 20 years younger than everybody? Am I the only one who thought that?
That's why I thought they were kids, was because she just looked so childish when she was in like the first scene when she's like puffing and walking quicker.
No. I meant when they're older.
Oh. You think she looks, what did you say then?
Because I think her husband's rich.
Oh.
I tell you, she aged the best. If you're gonna name an older one of the peaches to bang, it's absolutely Kit.
Helen Sue didn't age a day.
I'm going to look up the ages. I'm going to send you a text about the ages of the actress who played Kit when she's older. It's way younger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You go ahead. You do that.
All right. Wait, so are we still going here?
Yeah.
All right. So I want to ask before we get out of here.
Yeah.
I want your favorite baseball movie. I want your favorite sports movie. And I'll give you both of mine right now. It is a league of their own. There is no better sports movie. There's no better baseball movie for me. I do love to watch, Little Big League, Moneyball. Moneyball might be a tight contender, but sports movies, I there's nothing more than I've said this before. Laugh, cry, think, discuss.
Yeah.
Nothing more than this.
I would say baseball, yes. Sports.
While you're thinking about that, I'll throw you a touch of a curveball because it's a favorite of mine and it's kind of close. And it's amazing that I think possibly my two favorite sports movies are both female sports, A League of Their Own and Love and Basketball. I love that movie so much. And that was another movie where they really focused on the athleticism of the lead actress to make sure that it was looked legitimate. But yeah, those are A League of Their Own is like you a top 10 probably movie for me.
Yeah. Mighty Ducks is up there.
Yeah. Two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Two and three. I like three.
You are out of your mind. Excuse me. Three is not even close to two and one.
How?
There's no Emilio Estevez.
Yes, there is.
There's like 5 seconds of Emilio Estevez.
There's minimal.
I won't acknowledge this. This podcast has gone on long enough. People don't.
I was gonna say
it's a lot of Keenan.
We can leave this argument for when we do the Mighty Ducks.
Yeah, which we will. We will.
It's on the very long list. But yeah, I mean, we're probably close to the 2-hour mark now. Do you guys have any other? I mean, you just did a great job wrapping it up. I don't know if we want to slap a rating on this. I don't know if that feels right because it's kind of, I don't know. Do you want to slap a rating
on it? I'm going to slap a rating on it, and I'm going to say it's a 9.7.
Okay. Wow. Joey Berries, what do you
think? This is a top 10 of mine.
Just because I want to do a little bit better than Phil, I'm going 9.8. But he's right. It's a top 10 movie. I have probably 2 or 3 movies that I put at a 9.9, maybe even a 10. But I this is that high of regard for me.
Okay. I don't hold it again as high regard as you guys do because you have that nostalgia factor. I did like it though. And since we're kind of going at this with a fresh scaling, I'm not going to do decimal places yet. I'm going to save that for a rainy day. So I'm just going to give it a flat 9.
Oh, wow. Really good. Let's go.
Really good. But it gives me 10 other decimals that I can add above.
I love that.
Yeah. I love that journey for you.
Thank you.
I give you one last tidbit because I know that Phil is going to love this. Do you know who was originally slotted to play Walter Harvey?
Yes, Christopher
Walken. No, not here. Kansas. Could you imagine Christopher Walken as Walter Harvey? The guy is so New York. He is not Chicago.
We don't need girls. What?
The men come home from war
and then they go to the kitchen? Preposterous.
Joe John, have you seen Dune 2 yet?
Dune 2, you said? No, I am going to watch Dune 1 very soon. But I do want to watch Dune 2.
Dune 2 is unbelievable movie. The only gripe I have with that movie, the only gripe, is that Christopher Walken is so miscast in that. He plays the Emperor, and he is just Christopher Walken. And it is impossible to take Christopher Walken out of Christopher Walken. It's him. That's who he is. And he's amazing, but like I don't know about being Walter Harvey, and I certainly don't know about the Emperor of Dune, of Iraq.
Yes.
But I thought that was fun.
Yeah, that's funny. I can't picture that.
No, not here.
I'll check out Dune
in Kansas.
Oh, does your mother sew? Wow, get her sew that.
Get her sew that. All right.
I think that's
take
good.
Us out.
Yeah, I think we'll wrap it and tap it at that. I mean, Joey Berries, thanks
give us a happy ending to finish it. That was your segment that you wanted the happy endings.
Yeah, we'll have to workshop that because I don't have anything for it.
Okay,
yeah, that's why we.
That's a happy ending.
Jimmy Dugan's got a few happy endings in the
time. Jimmy Dugan, that waitress in South Bend, you know the one. She kept calling your name. a happy ending again. Family. If Vin Diesel taught us anything, it's all about family. So love this movie. Love you both. Love everybody for taking the time to listen to this. You could tell it is a favorite of ours and put a lot of time and effort into it. Hope you love it.
This was a dream come true of mine, truly. Thank you to the esteemed Treefort gang for allowing me to come in and discuss a movie that is more thought of in my cerebral cortex than probably any other movie. And I've had all of this on my chest for decades. And thank you for the 2 hours you've allowed me to expel it into the ears of your audience.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, I think when it comes to like talking about movies, you guys are in a league of your own.
Boom. Ended on that.
Full send.
There's no coming back on that.
All right.
We love you all. Like, subscribe.
Tune in.
Send us pictures of stuff.
All right, I'll see you at the Suds Bucket.
We'll see you at the Roadhouse called the Suds Bucket. Yeah, we'll see you there. Good night.
Love you. Tree Fort Gang is an Audio Boom original podcast. Edison is written by Aaron Sprinkle and is produced and performed by Soul Shifters.